Continuing with honoring our veterans during Veterans Week on KILR, and today we are speaking with retired Air Force Master Sergeant Daryl Brewer, 1981 graduate of Estherville High School. All right, so the first question would be, at what point did you know that you were going to go into the Air Force?
Well, Brother Dwayne had already entered the Air Force, and he was already through basic training, and so I had some insight. I was around when he went through his recruiting process, so I had some insight as to what to expect on a degree. I wasn't really seriously considering it at that point, but after entering my senior year of high school, I just decided I didn't think my grades were going to be that great to go to college, and I didn't really want to pursue college. So the Air Force, well, the military in general looked pretty attractive, and at first I was looking at the Marine Corps. And then Dwayne talked me out of it and said, you might want to consider going into the Air Force if you want to pursue technical and educational opportunities, either that or the Navy. We come from a family of a lot of military background with extended family. So I think all four services are represented. So I decided on the Air Force after the example that Dwayne provided. So that would have been probably October, November of my senior year, 1980, and then I went delayed enlistment in November of 1980.
Okay, now where did you train?
I've actually trained in Colorado and Texas, and those were the two main locations for training, Lowry Air Force Base in Denver, Colorado, and Lackland Air Force Base was basic training in San Antonio, Texas, and then tech school in Wichita Falls, Texas, Shepherd Air Force Base. So I've had three different jobs while I was active duty. So each time my job switch, I got went back to school.
Okay, so it was continuing education.
There's always continuing leadership education throughout a career as you advance, but the major training that I had to do for the profession and the skills that I was actually serving my duty with, I had to get formal schooling for. So that was the reason for the trips to Colorado and to Texas.
Okay. Now, where are some of the assignments you were given, and what places of the country or the world did those assignments take you?
The first assignment after school was to go to Homestead, Florida, down south of Miami. I got the opportunity to be around an uncle who served also in the Air Force, so it was pretty cool to share some experiences with him and learn a lot of the history that he experienced in World War II. And then I went to Upper Michigan. And then I went to, back to school in Colorado and then out to Virginia, Langley Air Force Base, and Langley Air Force Base in Virginia to Keflavik, Iceland, Naval Air Station. Did 2 years there. Then transferred to Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho, and then another reassignment to school, and then back to Texas, and then to Utah for 3 years, Hill Air Force Base, and then finally Elmendorf Air Force Base in Alaska. That was the final duty station before retirement.
Wow, what was Alaska like?
Alaska was wonderful. It was beautiful. I thought I was never going to leave, but I said that about Upper Michigan. I said that about Idaho, but Alaska, I genuinely thought I was not going to leave. It was just absolutely beautiful and had everything that I liked to do as far as extra activities. So,
awesome. What would be one of the most, like, a memorable event or a memorable experience that happened to you in all the years that you served? Anything stick out?
Well, there's a lot of things that stick out, and I never served during a shooting war. So I don't have gee whiz, I was there kind of stories. Most of the events that stick out in my mind are those with people. And this happened in Michigan when I was stationed in the Upper Peninsula at the front part of about a 300-inch snowfall year. It was heading into Christmas time, pretty dreary outside, and a lot of people had really poor attitudes heading into, you know, just after Thanksgiving and that first part of Christmas. And it couldn't quite put a finger on what was going on. Well, one of my bosses came in a Santa Claus suit, and he was handing out candy canes. And that picked everybody up. Well, we started talking a little bit, and another gentleman had a one-horse sleigh at his place. So he went home at lunchtime and brought back his one-horse sleigh and four sets of deer antlers. So four of us volunteered and put these deer antlers tied to our head, and we drug my boss in the Santa suit all around parts of the base, and he handed out candy canes. And it lifted the morale of the entire squadron. We even met the commander when he was coming off the flight line after he'd just flown a mission. And he loved it and gave us a lot of pats on the back for it. And a lot of kids saw us and were faces plastered to the window. There's Santa Claus being drugged around in a one-horse sleigh by four knuckleheads with antlers tied to their heads. So it was a pretty cool moment, and it did impact a lot of people. It was those kinds of experiences that I remember the most, because it was about people. And when I was away from my family, and my family's pretty critical to me, pretty important to me. So if you can make connections like that when you're far away from home and bring up a people's mood or morale or whatever, those are the moments that stick out the most. So that's one.
That's awesome. I also remember the story that you told us, a story about you noticed a propeller was on backwards. On what was that story?
It was a World War II aircraft, and it was popularly used in the Pacific. It was called a P-38 Lightning. And it is a twin tail, and because of the way the configuration on the plane, and because it was twin engine, the props, when they spin, are supposed to oppose each other, because if not, then the yaw rate will cause it to, it'll be difficult to control.
Okay.
So the propeller angle is supposed to oppose. Well, when I was standing for a formation up in Alaska, there was one on display, and I happened to notice that the propellers were both feathered in the same angle. And I noticed it and brought it up to the folks who did the refurb and on the plane itself, and they were surprised that somebody noticed.
I love that story.
I thought it was kind of funny.
In your experiences, do you think it's important for the young people of today to know these types of stories and know all that the people went through when they went through their individual branches of military? Do you think it's important for them to share the stories with the younger generation of today?
I think it's important, but it's difficult, because I've been around groups of veterans, some older, and some of them my peers. And if I haven't had the same experiences as they have had, they're reluctant to share their experiences with me. Even though I'm a veteran, I served and I retired. There's always small groups within a group, and a lot of those guys, they protect those memories. They protect those experiences because they're afraid that nobody else will really understand and appreciate what they went through and the sacrifices that so many different people have made. A lot of my peers that I graduated in 81 went into the service, all different branches of service. And their experiences are pretty important, and their own. They're able to pass them on to their kids and perhaps even their grandkids. I think it's important just because it's part of our history. It's part of our legacy. It's part of the reason why I was able to go and vote this past election and any other election. It's the reason why I can still speak freely. It's the reason why I can still worship freely. It's the reason why you and I can be talking right now, is for people that have made the sacrifices that ensure our freedom, our Constitution. And that doesn't come by chance. It doesn't come by accident. There are people that actually consciously have to make the decision to go out and each day get up and serve. And do so with the idea that I don't have a certain picture in my mind of who I'm doing this for. It is for people in general to get to enjoy those rights, enjoy those privileges that get taken for granted, that become complacent about it. I think it's important for people to know that it doesn't just happen by accident. There are people that actually do that, and it's a very, very small percentage of the population that are willing to go and do it. It's certainly not for the money. And many times when you're by yourself and you're away from family, it's because of the person right next to you. That's the face you see when you're doing what you're doing. So it's difficult to convey that to somebody who's not been there or have family members in it. But there's just this knowing understanding. Yeah, I didn't have the same experience as you did, but I had my own. And so we're kind of in a brother and sisterhood together in that regard.
Oh, that is so well said and well put. And thank you so much, Daryl, for taking the time to tell of your experiences in the Air Force. Thank you for your service. That's retired Air Force Master Sergeant Daryl Brewer during Veterans Week here on KILR.